Rob was talking. Like, all I heard about being a Christian is, from the beginning, was like we should have a balanced life. Well, it takes a lot to keep some life balanced, doesn't it? Where Jesus didn't actually say he came to give us a balanced life, he came to give us a full life. And if we want the results that Jesus has for our lives, or the Lord wants what has for our lives, well, we need to know what he has to say about these areas of our lives, yeah? So he has stuff to say on spiritual health, on relational health, mental health, what other health? Financial health, emotional health. He has something to say on all of these things. And if we know what he has to say about these and we put into practice what he has to say, he will say, now that's life. Do you get it? I get it. You know, because sometimes we go, you know, things go wrong and we go, well, that's life. And we just accept sometimes any willy-nilly thing. And we go, well, if it's not the life that God and Jesus has promised, I need to question whether that's just life. Are you with me? Say, that's life. Say, that's what all the people say. You're riding high in April and shut down in May. And I know I'm going to change that tune when I'm back on top this June. That's life. So from the 3rd of May, Rob will be launching the one here, and all the locations is going through this series because we want to know what our Father has to say about living. Amen? Amen. So Father, we commit all things into your hands with absolute, bring us to that place of absolute trust that Jesus had when he says, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. That confidence in who you are, Father. We commit all things into your hands, Lord. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow's, Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, believe it or not, like, I have a lot to say, and so little time to say it in. So I'm asking the Lord just to shape some of my thinking. But I was reading just recently, and it's something that the Lord is putting into my heart a lot, and I'm trying to get my head around it and my heart around it, and I'm absolutely enjoying all of what the Lord is doing and saying into my life in these days. I'm you know what? There's an old song that says, Jesus gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. And I want to tell you, I'm 27 years walking with Jesus, and he gets sweeter and sweeter. Times are tough and rough, and there's all things that may be part of living, but he's the constant. He's the same. He's unchangeable in his characteristics. He's just an amazing God. And just like, we need to start celebrating who he is at another level. And I believe God wants to bring us to another level. And the way we celebrate at another level is that God gives us revelation of another aspect or an increased aspect of his character and who he is. Because God is not just someone to be believed in. God is someone to be experienced. He's someone to be experienced. He's not a belief system. He's a person. He's a father. He's a lover. He's a companion. He's a strong tower. He is all that we need and more. And, you know, I listened to a man, or I heard this statement recently, and if anyone has heard me over the last while, you'll know that this would have resonated with me. I heard this man saying that we all have a sound theology, which is a good one, because you might meet someone that hasn't got. There's always people walking behind you in this place. And like, I don't know whether you're going to bless me or mug me, Carol. But when we become, like, in fact, I hope I didn't tell you this before because it's really good, is that in the ancient philosophers used to say that they used to have a thing called the musica universally, meaning that they used to believe that when all the planets and stars and everything that we see in the constellations would move, that they would make a sound to Creator. And what scientists have found out, you can look this up, I read this paper, and it says this, that they have found that there's DNA, musical, in our DNA, there's musical notations in the makeup of who we are as people. That the philosophers are right, the creation does give praise to God, but God has not, he's took music and put it actually into the very fabric of who you and I are. That's why the Bible's all full of sound. And in fact, when I'm reading the Bible recently, I'm like, boy, this Bible is like a musical. It's an incredible drama unfolding, and there's music and sound thrown all the way into it, because everything began with a sound. Remember, God said, he spoke, Let there be light. Let there be O-R-E. R is a Greek and Hebrew word for light. He said, let there be all. See, it's hard to say oh, isn't it? It's like you have to sing all. You have to sing this stuff. Everything that we see has been created by sound. And actually, in fact, everything that has been held together, that the whole earth is vibrating right now. And Hebrew says that the world is being held together by his word. Everything in the whole universe is vibrating right now. When you pick up the car and take the crust of the earth away, and everything to the core of the earth is like vibrating at such a rate. And the Bible says, Jesus just saying, stay. Just holding it together by his word. But every one of us have a sound theology. In fact, David says this in Psalm 40. He says that he was in the mud and the mire, and he called out to God, and he lifted him up out of the mud and the mire, and he put his feet on a rock and gave him a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to God, so that many will hear and many will see and many will put their trust in God. That when you become a believer, it's nearly like the sound of God becomes alive in us. That our old songs, our old sound, our own sound theology could be, I'm a no good person, or I have this going on, or the world doesn't look bright. And we have all these sounds that are going on around in our minds and in our hearts. Because whatever sound that we connect with is the sound that will create our atmosphere. For instance, have you ever with someone who's always talking poor mouth? I have nothing. How come that person always seems to have nothing? How come that person never seems to be happy even if they have everything? Because they've created a whole atmosphere around themselves by what sound is coming out of them. That's why the Bible says, here's the sound that the Bible says, let the poor say they're rich. Let the weak say they're strong. He's saying, come on, I want to turn that sound around that you're carrying. In David's tabernacle, in 1 Chronicles 16, David creates this tabernacle that was different than Moses' tabernacle. Moses' tabernacle was still in Gilboa, and Moses' tabernacle, they still doing the sacrifices all the way up. But here's the thing, the people of God brought the Ark of the Covenant, which was the representation where God would come down and present himself in the midst of the people. Are you with me? That's true, isn't it? So when that Ark of the Tabernacle was being brought out, because he brought it to war, and the Philistines took a hold of it. And you remember those stories where the gods Dagon, I think Ines spoke on the last week, Dagon fell down in their temple where they had the Ark of the Covenant, which was the representation of the presence of God on earth. Well, when David, who loved the presence of God, went and got the Ark, he didn't bring it to Gibeah where Moses' tabernacle was, which was about sacrifice and sacrificing bulls and blood. And you know, David brought it to Jerusalem and he built a different tent. Incredible. And we can have a sound, because when you read Moses' tabernacle, I'm telling you, that was to show us the holiness of who God is. That's why only one priest once a year could go in. After doing all the ceremonial cleansing, after confessing all his sins, after putting his hands on the scapegoat, all of the things, bells on his feet and a rope on his feet, because if he had unconfessed sin, that he could have gone in there and been struck dead by God. Now, when I tell you, it couldn't have been a very pleasant place to go. Let's just be calling it what it is, yeah? Blood everywhere, goats everywhere, bulls everywhere. The priest wasn't going in. Psalm 100 says, I'll enter his gates with thanksgiving in his heart. That wasn't written about Moses' tabernacle. That was written, David wrote that about his tabernacle. Because you didn't go into Moses' tabernacle with joy in your heart, really. The priest must have been terrified. Have I done everything right? David says, no, enter this place with thanksgiving in my heart. I was thinking about this. Imagine doing all of the sacrifice in Moses' tabernacle. And the priest goes in, does all of the stuff. He goes in, but there's no Ark of the Covenant. There's no presence of God. Imagine doing religion and having the sound of dour religion, but no presence of God. Or you get invited up to Jerusalem and they're singing everywhere. David had 4,000 on his worship team. 24, or you can imagine, set 4,000 arty people. That was fun. 24/7 worship. Constant. He had people, and here's the atmosphere David created. He had people, and your job, just say it was 1,000 people on this side. Your job was just to give thanks. Just to give thanks to God. You're the thankers. Imagine the atmosphere that I could create in my life alone if I just was a thankful person, that I decided that the atmosphere around my life was going to be one of thanksgiving. I thank you for the sun this morning. I thank you for the breath, Lord. I thank you for water. I thank you for all the things that we could constantly. Imagine meeting someone in the morning and they're not a thankful person. We draw them into air atmosphere. Shaney, what's wrong with you, man? What's he on? What's she on that they can just look at the world in all of its state and look what's going on in their life and they still find space to give thanks to God? It creates something in us. Jerusalem under David, 33 years he was in Jerusalem and 7 years in Hebron. 40 years. And in Jerusalem in his 33 years, he created this city that was full and constant praising God 24/7. In Moses' tabernacle and even Solomon's temple that was to come, David was an interim. Not once was Jerusalem penetrated by anyone from outside. Not once do we read in the scriptures in David's time did the people of God go after other gods. Because they had this presence of God in a city that is constant. And we all have a sound. We can have a sound of religious activity or we can have a sound of presence and intimacy. We can tick all the boxes. I went to church, I gave, I done this, I done this, I done this, I done this. Imagine doing all that without the presence of God. No wonder some of us are miserable looking now of things. Because we've settled for something other than his presence. Even form, even religious activity. Here's the Bible says, there's fullness of, in his presence, there's fullness of joy. So our Christianity, our intimacy life with Jesus, our walk with Jesus should be marked with joy. Or else I can do all the other stuff and be marked with religion, judgment, and someone's not measuring up, or can be marked with joy and grace and mercy and forgiveness. And we all have a sound theology. Leonard Sweet says his soul should be built from the sound up. What's your sound? Record yourself this week. What's coming out of me? What's coming out of my life? Play it back to myself. Lord, that's not right. That's not in line with who you are, what I am. That's what Suzette was saying this morning. Even if you don't feel it. Doesn't mean, that's probably, facts, truth is better than is bigger than facts. And the truth of God's word actually creates new facts. That's why he says, let the weak say they're poor. No, maybe they do. Let the weak say they're strong. Let the rich say they're poor. Let the poor say they're rich. He's saying he's not denying that you're poor. But God has something bigger and better for you. Find out what he has and let him sing. Zephaniah 3 says the Father rejoices over us with singing. Find out what Father is singing and start singing out over your life and my life what he's singing about us. I bet you know he's not singing, you're no good, you're never going to melt down, you're never going to fulfill that plan. That's not his song. That's not his sound. His sound is I have plans and future and hope for you. He sings over us. Do you know Jesus sang? There was lots of festivals that Jesus went to and adhered to that there was all singing at. And I would have known that, but I remember reading and someone, I was reminded of this and I knew where it was and I went straight to in the scriptures. After the Last Supper, they sang hymns together. Translation, they sang psalms together. They sang Psalms 114 to 118, which is called the Hallel Psalms, the Psalms of the praise, taken from Hallelujah, praise God. Jesus, knowing someone's going to betray him, breaks bread. They come out and they're going down to Mount Olives and they're singing, he's singing praise songs. Psalm 118. This is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. He's going to the cross, by the way. He didn't allow man or the even fear of death to grip him because he created his own atmosphere around him. This is the day my father has made. Gee, no one took Jesus' life. He laid it down. He was like, no one's going to sing this song. I'm singing. No one's going to create a sad song around me. Heard a great old gospel song yesterday. I was listening to it. No ground's going to hold this body down. I'm singing, thinking, listening to it. Imagine singing that when I'm dying. Ain't no ground's going to hold this body down. What a way to die, man. You have a sound and I have a sound. And our sound can create our future. Our sound can create what's going to be ahead of us. Martin Luther, the great proclaimer of the truth of the scriptures that brought about a reformation, a revolution. When the church was had a system that was more political than even religious. That the only way to get to God was through somebody, through a system. And Luther, he was never felt he was good enough. There's stories where they said that his face, he'd fast and pray, his face would cave in, his jaws would cave in. Trying to be holy enough, trying to be righteous enough. And during one of these times, he's reading and he finds in the scriptures that it's only by grace, through faith, you're saved. That you can never be holy enough, you can never be righteous enough, you can never be good enough. We've all fallen short of the measure that God has placed. And he realized that it's not by good works, it's not by indulgences, it's not by this or not by that. And he goes and he nails 39, was it, or 29? Many? 98? Any other takers? 98, 98 going there now. Can you imagine on the big gates of the cathedral, he's banging this thesis. It's like, poof. Imagine the old system. Every time I heard this sound, every time I had this vibration of truth, that an old system was starting to be eroded away and crumbled away. And you know what Luther done after all of that? One day he was at home and he hears this sound, click, 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 click. He looks out, a blind man coming up the road with his white stick just clicking along. But the blind man with his white stick is not just clicking along, but he's singing scriptures. And Luther had a eureka moment. And he goes, what I'm going to do is my teachings about grace and truth and the cross and the blood and the sufficiency of Christ's sacrifice. He says, I'm not only going to put them on in a thesis, I'm going to write music to them. Hello? Sound? And he writes songs about God and the truth that he'd come into, and he put them into songs, and we still sing them today. He found his sound. He had a sound theology. And what did he do with his sound? He created a future. It's very important. 1965, or thereabouts, a woman's on a bus in America. It's Birmingham, Alabama, yeah? And they had seats for whites and seats for blacks. This was by law. Rosa Parks gets on a bus that was assigned for the color of her skin. And other seats were reserved for white people on the bus, and when them seats got filled up, more white people got on, and the bus driver gets up and he pushes the sign back for black people to be further now down. And she was sitting in one that was already assigned for black people, and he says, now you have to move. And a sound came out of her mouth that created a future. No, I'm not moving. She got brought to court. She was fined $10 for the crime and $4 for court costs. She appeals it. A group of activists, they get together and they're like, no, we're gonna protest against this. A young Baptist minister was new to town. They made him the leader of the activist group, Martin Luther King. He creates a sound. And the song that they sang, "We shall not be overcome." They were creating a future. Were they being overcome at that stage? Yes. What did they, the minority, what's the law, what's the system against them? Yes, but they says, this is not our reality. And we're going to, Rosa Parks started and shifted something that created a new reality. No, we're not settling for this. Our song can create realities for the next generations. They enjoy what we sing about. I think something like Rosa Parks or Martin Luther King and the guy that wrote, Seeger, that wrote that song. It was an old gospel song that was in the 1800s, "We Shall Overcome." And they took that and they redesigned it. And they sang it because the reality wasn't they were overcoming. The reality, if they looked at it, was they were being overcome. But they had a vision of another reality. Their sound created a future, their stance. There was two kings that were died in Memphis, Martin Luther King and Elvis. And both of them created a sound that changed the future. One had a song and one had a dream. One had a sound and one had a dream in their heart. But both of them changed culture, changed the way we look at music, changed the way we look at people, changed the way we do law. And God has put a song in your heart. And my last 3 minutes is this, is to help us release that song. What's going on? You know, I think this is called a timbrel. Any musical people? Yeah? No? Okay. Well, it's a timbrel, right? The tambourine is in there. The first, see what I'm saying about this musical that's in the Bible is? They're in Egypt. And they say the phonetics people or linguistics people have found, I don't know how you find these things out, but it's amazing, that the people of God that was in bondage to Egyptians, that their sound was no more than a whisper. It was like they weren't allowed to raise their sound level. Because they might be talking and they might be talking about freedom. They might be talking about deliverance. They might be talking about God getting them out of here. So they'd shut them down. And one of the ways they shut them down was that the mistresses and the masters had something like this, like a timbrel. Although it was a leather piece that was up that way and had little words going across with little bells on it like this. But it was on a stick, a long stick. And if people were found talking above their station, that the mistress or the masters or the slave drivers would come up, just say Patrice and Rob is talking, and you go, shutting them down. Shh. Shh. Reminding them, you've nothing to say. You're not going anywhere. And he'd shut them down. And you see, when they come out of Egypt, and they come out of Egypt and they go across the Red Sea, the enemy is crushed by God. All the chariots and the kings and the warriors are all crushed, right? What happens on the other side? Miriam grabs a timbrel and starts singing and dancing. And you're like, whoa. And just not only that, but not only does she do it, but it says all the women joined in with their tambourines, your translation might say, and were dancing. You're like, my goodness, they turn everything into a song and dance in the scriptures. And you know what she said? Sing a song to the Lord, she says to all the people. He has overcome the chariot and the horse. But here's the thing, where did she get the timbrel? Do you know it says in the Bible that when they came out of Egypt, that the people of Egypt gave them jewels and clothes and fine linens, and that's what the tabernacle was made out of, all that stuff. Because God took what was in Egypt and took it for his glory. So you can imagine the women of Israel coming out and says, yeah, we'll have your rubies and we'll have your fine purple clothes and all that stuff. And then they look on the mantelpiece if they had one. And they go, and we'll have the timbrel. See that thing you used to shut us down with? We'll have that. Now, I thought by memory that was Miriam that got up alone with the timbrel. But it says all the women. So all the women must have been coming out of the houses going, by the way, mistress, we'll take the timbrel. And they get to the other side. And God takes a thing that was designed to shut them up And they used it as an instrument of praise to God. And see, all of the things that we have been shut down with and things that is being said and done. And like, I don't know, but for years I used to think because I was a Christian, I became a second-class person. Because everyone was out to slag me, everyone out to put me down, everyone out to persecute you. You go to places of society and they go, oh, you're the church. Like as if, oh, yeah, we're the church. Take family background, take circumstances, situation, job issues, whatever that tries to close us down. And God says, I will take them very things that try to shut you up and I'll make it a hymn of praise to God. That's what God wants to do and to put in our hearts. No matter who it is, what is being said, God said, I'm going to take that. And you're going to be a testimony to my praise when I put my sound within you. I'm telling you, that deserves a bigger amen than that. Everything has a sound code. I just read yesterday that every building has a frequency code that if it's, I don't really fully know this, so if I get wrong, read it yourself. But that buildings that are being built, bridges that are being built all over the world, there's a frequency that resonates with a bridge, say. And if that right frequency is released in the earth, that bridge will collapse. So you have to do these sound barriers and everything when they're building places where there's earthquakes and whatever. There's bridges, famous bridges that I can't think the name of, but they found them swaying. Just swaying, not because of the force of wind around, but the sound that comes with winds and thunder and all caused this. Everything has a sound code. Jericho had a sound code. And God gave them the code to pull down the stronghold that was in front of them, that would release them into that promised land. See, imagine they said, like, now we'll just do it our way, Lord. We'll walk around 5 times and then let us shout. The Lord's like, you can do that, but that's not the sound code. I'm telling you what's going to be releasing the future for you. And I believe God wants to give us a song. And whatever it is in your heart, whatever it is that stands in front of you, whatever it is your future holds, that God will give you words. See, the songs that God wants to put in our heart, if we only have recorded songs in our heart, there's something wrong. Because I like Chris Tomlin's song, but I want to tell you, God has given me a song. And God has given you a song. And if all we have is recorded songs, there's something missing. Because God wants to give us a song. You a song, me a song, that we sing to him, we sing about him, we sing to the mountains, we sing. I'm telling you, get into this, get your song off the Lord, and I'll tell you, things will change all around you. What you hear the Father singing, we resound in the earth. What he's singing, we resound in the earth, and the landscape changes. Let's stand, and could I get the worship team to come back? And we end with a song. Christ alone. Yeah, that was cracker.